I know you're tired. I know you're hurting. And I wish I could say something that was classy and inspirational. But that just wouldn't be our style. Pain heals. Chicks dig scars. Glory lasts forever.
Right on!
Shotgun. DC right. Flip 90. Dig. On the center. Ready?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of The Bills. Guys, I gotta fix my... Look at this. I gotta fix my camera here. I didn't realize that I was off-center.
Could go a little higher today with the hat there.
Oh.
There you go.
There we go. I finally got that professional backdrop. We are truly professionals here at The Bills, guys. My name is Steve Mathis, host of... this podcast presented by the Buffalo Fanatics. You can find me on Twitter at Judge Mathis, joined as always by my co-host Dave Tilton. You can find him on Twitter at Tilt Money. And Dave, I'll tell you what, tonight's going to be a fun show because there's absolutely no pressure. We can literally say whatever we want. Bills or Chiefs Patriots are on television. Nobody's watching this. Nobody's watching. No. And it is a real barn burner. I mean, I'm just looking at it on my television up here. A whole whopping 6-0 right now. The Kansas City Chiefs are really taking it to the New England Patriots.
Well, you kind of figured the Patriots defense, you know, pretty good, and the Patriots playing without Cam. So maybe this game kind of was going to sneakily be a low scoring affair. Chiefs obviously can explode at any time, but, you know, Chiefs got that that pick and didn't then turned it right back over to them. Otherwise, it could have been worse. But yeah. You know, we could say whatever we want tonight. Probably have most people watching that game. So
since that's going on, I feel free to just call you out. Like, what I'm going to say, ladies and gentlemen, is support your local brewery tonight. This is tough times that we're living in. Don't be a Dave. Don't drink your Bud Lights. Hey, Bud Light.
That was one time.
You know, support your local brewery. I got my Four Peaks Hazy IPA here, supporting my local brewery in this time of need. So, make sure you're supporting your local brewery, folks.
And let's support the people who are actually watching tonight, right? So let me give a few shout outs to the people in the room. We got Earth Rockers in the room. One of our super chatters from last show, Richard Rush, of course. Elliot is in the house. Zach Allen, very loyal regular. We've got Cody Finney in the house. Bills Guys N. Daniel Gowries is in there. Chris Janke, Dr. Meme, always funny. Andrew Miller, he's ready to chop it up, he says. Steven Campione, James FX90.
Cheers in you, Steven. Cheers in you.
And Ryan Thiel, of course, is in the house. So we've got some loyal regulars in the house tonight. So appreciate that.
where we want to start today, I want to jump right into it because we made some comments on previous vidcasts over the summer when we talked about the addition of Stephon Diggs and we talked about the addition of Josh Norman. And we talked, I believe it was in training camp, when we were talking about the battles going back and forth between the offense and the defense and how the offense was going to make the defense better and the defense was going to make the offense better and vice versa. And they were upping the competition level. And we both talked about the persona and the personalities and the vibes that guys like Stephon Diggs and Josh Norman bring to this team. They are legitimately, I mean, Josh Norman might be a little bit past his prime, but these guys are wired different. Like they are wired different. They are competitive guys. If you've seen The Last Dance, these are some Michael Jordan-esque type of mindset guys, and they're bringing that mindset to this football team. And when you go back and you rewatch that Raiders game and you look at the fourth quarter, you know, this is a Bills team that year in and year out would have found a way to lose that game. They would have, but what is different in this game? We have big time players making big time plays. First, you have Josh Norman, who, no offense to Levi Wallace isn't making the play that Josh Norman did, knocking that ball out, forcing that fumble, getting the Buffalo Bills the ball. Then the Buffalo Bills get the football and right away play action bomb to none other than Stephon Diggs, who absolutely mosses the safety. And no offense to John Brown. John Brown doesn't make that play. These two players are wired different. You could see Josh Norman's reaction on the sideline when Stephon Diggs made that play. Those two players and a couple other players who I'll give shout outs to, Andre Roberts, Quentin Jefferson, John Brown, Josh Allen, put this team on their back and made sure that this game didn't get close and that we won this football game. What are your thoughts on these big time players making these big time plays?
man, it just like brings me back to when we actually signed Josh Norman, right? If you go back to when that happened, we were like, wow, you know, like we got Levi Wallace. Like, why do we need to even sign Josh Norman? Then we gave him the $6 million. And we kind of talked about this throughout the summer, how we thought Josh Norman was going to bring that edge to the defense and like just bring a little bit more fire. You know, we saw the run-ins he's had with Odell in the past, that famous Panthers Giants game. And not that he's like a dirty guy, a dirty player. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying it's the aggressiveness, that fire, and especially at that corner position where, let's be honest, like that's a tough position to play in today's NFL with all the rules kind of going against you. For him to make that play in a time of need where the Bills really needed to take back momentum is really big. And I said this to you sort of offline, and I was going to tweet it out, but I didn't. But I made the comment that that play that Norman made was better than anything I had seen from Levi Wallace all year collectively from all of his plays. Yes, he had the interception against the Rams, but you can argue that it was, I'm not going to say it was inconsequential, but it wasn't in a big time moment, as big of a moment it was when Norman knocked that ball out. And then the very next play for Allen to go deep to Diggs, you see Norman fired up on the sideline because he knows that what he did there set that up. And those two back-to-back plays, one on defense, one on offense, essentially kind of sealed the game for the Bills in a way. And man, I'm happy that we have Josh Norman on this team, especially now with Wallace injured. But man, I'm happy to have Josh Norman on this team, especially because, you know, we haven't seen, and it's not his fault, but we haven't necessarily seen the fiery, sort of fun-loving Trey White that we've seen last year. So Norman kind of bringing that fire onto the other side, maybe that's going to spark this entire defense. So hats off to Norman and Diggs. Big-time players make big-time plays. Like you said, back-to-back plays on both sides of the ball. You couldn't ask for more. And, you know, you touched on a couple of the other guys, and I know we're going to get into it more, but that's kind of where I want to start my thought today. With Norman.
Yeah, you know, Ray Backus says he brings it, and I love the attitude and aggression. I agree. I mean, this is a defense that legitimately hadn't forced a punt in what, six quarters? Six quarters they hadn't forced a punt.
And the Raiders only punted once, by the way, in that game. So yeah. they didn't punt.
And Levi Wallace, no offense to Levi Wallace, Josh Norman just brings a different kind of veteran smarts, a different kind of aggression. And he went out and he made that play. And once he made that play, it turned the tide of the defense. And the defense really brought it for the rest of that game. I mean, there was that last drive by the Raiders, and we're going to get into it. Like, what is with all of these receivers winning jump balls and beating our corners? Like, Nelson Aguilar looked great. And I don't understand how. We got to talk about Trey White a little bit later, but yeah, I mean, John DeMarchi, thank you for the super chat. We really appreciate it. It says Norman, Jefferson, Butler. They played a great second half, and it's true. They did. They helped this defense turn it around. Someone, you know, all over Twitter, people were saying, like, someone's got to make a one-on-one play. Someone's got to beat their man, make a one-on-one play, and really set the tone for this defense. Josh Norman did it. Quentin Jefferson did it. You know, I think a lot of that carried into that fourth and one stop of Josh Jacobs. So kudos to Josh Norman. I honestly feel like Josh Norman almost saved that game for us with that one play. Yeah. I really do.
We had no momentum at that point, or at least very little. Like Raiders had all the momentum. You think about, you know, we had the 17, you know, the 17 to, I believe it was it the 17-10? I can't remember exactly what the score was, but the Raiders essentially got it to within, got 17-13. Then they got the field goal. They got it to within one. John Gruden not going for it on that particular fourth down. And then the Raiders get the ball back, and they're driving, and look what happens. I mean, like, the Raiders had all the momentum at that point, and we've been asking for this sort of, like, all year. Was like, where's that spark going to come from on the defensive side? We've had the spark on the offensive side, but like we talked about it in that Rams game, like, come on, this defense needs to just make one play. And like, they made that play, and they didn't just make one, they made a couple. You talk about the fourth down stop, talk about the fumble, you talk about the Quentin Jefferson sack fumble. So, you know, when we needed to make big plays on defense in this game, we actually did. And obviously we blew the takeaway number that we had set at one sort of out of the water there. You know, well, I guess technically the turnover on downs isn't considered a takeaway, but for all intents and purposes, it kind of is. And, you know, we had the two takeaways, which in my opinion were the difference in the game, because otherwise you look at the box score, you wouldn't be able to tell who won the game, honestly. You might have thought the Raiders won the game by just looking at the yardage.
Yeah. John DeMarcia again with another super chat. Really appreciate it. He says last one. Hey, it doesn't have to be the last one, John. You can ask however many questions you want, my man. How good is Brandon Bean? I mean,
let's take a second to talk about that, because, like, quite honestly, Bill O'Brien just got fired today, and he's the head coach slash GM in Houston. Mm-hmm. I mean, they don't have a first or second round pick next year. They have the highest payroll of any team in the National Football League. They're 0-4. I mean, you look at some of these teams around the National Football League, what Joe Douglas is doing in New York. Like, some people say they like what he's doing, but then you look and a couple injuries hit their team and they're trash. I mean, a lot of that's Adam Gase, but I mean, you just look around the league. The Detroit Lions are crumbling. GMs and coaches, they need to be in sync. It matters. And Brandon Bean, you know, we had this conversation earlier this offseason. You know, every year, oh, GM of the year, GM of the year. How about GM of the last 3 years? Because sometimes being a GM is about having vision and building towards the future. So if you look at, like, the last 3 years, has there been a single GM in the National Football League that's done a more impressive job than Brandon Bean? I mean, maybe Kansas City. Maybe you could look at Baltimore. There are a couple teams here and there. But, I mean, my goodness, Brandon. Like, if the Bills put it together and make a run in the playoffs this year, my goodness, what he's done in 3 years.
But think about what he has to do as a GM, and not every GM situation is the same, right? Like, every GM obviously wants to draft well. They want to handle the cap well, whatever. But, like, depending on where you are in the life cycle of your, quote, run to kind of make a run at a title, you have to GM differently. So Bean looked at it when he came in and realized, like, this team isn't ready to compete. I'm not going to go out and sign high-dollar free agents like the Jets did when they went out and signed Mosley and Le'Veon Bell. Were the Jets ready to compete? Unless they thought they were, they really weren't, right? So Bean takes a look at it from the long term and says, look, where I'm coming into this seat. I need to fix what's in-house. I need to clean it up first, then think about what I can do long term. And it's really hard, I think, for fans to kind of look at it that way, because obviously, and if everything in the NFL is kind of like win now, there's very, like, you get very short leashes in the NFL, whether you're a coach, player, whatever. I mean, you look what happened to the Wilkes in Arizona, fired after 1 year. You saw, like, what happened to Pettine with the Browns. Like, you see coaches that get fired after 1 year or less. And it's just like, man, for him to kind of, like, have that patience and GM the team the way it needed to be GM'd at the time, by, like, knowing this team is starved for a playoff contender, it was all about sustainability for him. And that's what he set this team up for. It's set up for sustainability. And that's where, like, you talk about the GM of the last 3 years, like, we could be talking about, you know, him as an executive of the year candidate this year, you know, even when the Bills kind of, like, make hay in the postseason and, like, this kind of plan he's had comes to fruition. He should certainly be on the short list.
Yeah. It's an absolutely incredible job he's doing. And I think, you know, speaking of jobs he can be doing, let's talk about the defense a little bit, because I want to transition now and talk about the defense before we get into the offense and have fun. Oh, and we're going to have a lot of fun talking about the offense. Let's talk about the defensive woes a little bit, and then let's maybe get into some suggestions for Mr. Bean on what he might be able to do to fix it, because I think there might be some personnel moves we can make to help this defense out right now. But first of all, let me just get your general thoughts. Like, what are your thoughts on this defense? Why are they struggling? What's your concern level right now?
My concern level has lowered after this past game. I mean, we did give up, you know, plays to Nelson Aguilar and Zay Jones, but, like, the run defense was what my concern was going into the game. And we held Josh Jacobs in check under 50 yards rushing. I was way off on that. I said over 100, you said under, so you were right on that one. So, but I was right on the yards, so we'll get to that. But
anyway,
I was really hoping that we'd shut down the run, right? Force them to throw. And at the end of the day, like, Derek Carr kind of did a few things that were out of character for him. He did take a few shots, and let's be real, he didn't make a nice play on that touchdown that got called back because of the illegal formation. So, you know, there is still some concern about the pasty, but I liked what I saw in the improvement in the run defense. But man, you know what we're struggling still over the middle of the field. Linebackers and coverage for us have been a problem. AJ Klein specifically, in my opinion. Edmonds has struggled a little bit, and you know, we'll get into that now with Milano out. Linebacker to me is a concern right now, especially in coverage. And you know, that CB2 spot, you know, although Norman played a good game, I'm still worried about the depth a little bit at corner. And that's really kind of where I'm at right now with this defense. I don't think I would touch the safeties. Obviously we're fine with that. Trey's fine. For me, it comes down to linebackers and pass rush. Honestly, that's for me, the concerns I have, especially as we start going up against the likes of Jonnu Smith, Travis Kelce. You know, we're going to go up against Noah Fant later on in the year. Like, we're going to go up against some tough tight ends, and we have struggled over the middle of the field in coverage. And the second concern there is the pass rush, right? Because, like, although we did get a couple sacks and we had the sack fumble with Jefferson, the edge pass rush. And now we talked about holding being called less this year and the officials being told to do that. Now that's some of it. It's widely kind of documented how overall defenses are not performing as well this year in the league across the board. But pass rush is a concern for me right now, to be honest with you, because we're not getting home. It seems like we're getting close, but we're just not getting home. So those are my concerns right now. I don't know what other people think. We can take a look at the comments and see. Yeah, but
we got – because I'm in the same boat as you. I don't know – I honestly don't know at this point how to feel. And Matthew Ronkowski comes in. He says, this is the fourth preseason game. They're starting to get some life. There was another comment.
Our guy Joe Miller says biggest need right now is edge rusher. They bet on themselves, and it's not working out. I mean, that's pretty true, I feel like. But,
you know. Ray Backus says, don't care how many yards they give up. Once you get inside the 20, you lock it down, and we do that. I mean, we did against the Raiders to a degree. I mean, until like that the very end. I mean, they scored one touchdown. Pretty much my prediction for the game was they were going to score one touchdown and kick a bunch of field goals.
Yeah.
And they were on pace to do that until that sort of garbagey time touchdown. I don't want to call it a garbage time touchdown because the game was still close, but towards the end there. Mm-hmm. And we did that, but against the Rams, we didn't do that. We certainly did not do that against the Rams. So, I mean, if you look at it, really, you know, I'm trying to figure out why the defense is so bad this year. And this is what I came up with in my notes about the reasons why I think that this offense or this defense might not be, you know, up to snuff, at least what we're used to this year. Number one is Sean McDermott's defense is predicated on forcing pressure with four or five guys. Mm-hmm. It is. And right now, as many of you are saying in the comment section, the pressure is not getting there. And then you are right. But another thing I think too is offenses are playing us different. This isn't the same old Bills. We're averaging 30 points a game. So when opposing teams come in to our stadium or host us when we play a game, they're approaching us and they're attacking us differently because they know they need to score points. They're being more aggressive. They're not sitting on their heels and trying to play ball possession. Josh Jacobs only had 15 carries. Like, yeah, we played really good run defense, but they only gave him the ball 15 times. I mean, come on. If he would have had the ball 25, 30 times, I'm sure he would have broken some. You know, the pressure's not getting there the past few games, especially in the first three quarters that finally got there. And there are a number of reasons why that pressure's not getting there. The NFL's emphasis on not calling ticky-tack fouls. We've had conversations about this. It's really affecting our four or five man pass rush. No fans in the stands allows offenses to adjust. It's easier pre-snap. I think there's an effect on the players as well when you're at home and there's no fans screaming and shouting. Mm-hmm. I think that helps opposing teams' quarterbacks when you're practically in a practice setting. You know, it hurts your defense. They don't get as pumped up, as fired up. They don't feed off the fans. And you see that league-wide defenses are struggling. I mean, there's what, five good defenses in the NFL this year? Pittsburgh, Indy, Chicago, New England. I mean, are there even really any good defenses in the National Football League this year?
And Pittsburgh's really played of any kind of teams with decent offenses. I mean, the Colts have played the Bears, the Jags, I believe, right? So, like, I mean – you got to look at who they played too. So there's a good chance it's even fewer that have played decent schedules. Like the Niners going into last night had played like the Jets, Giants. I mean, so even there, it's like, are there really any great defenses right now? I mean, all right, Scott with a super chat. Let's bring it up here. We're really bad against the rush. Our defense couldn't get Jacobs in check. He was running all over fielding from gaining 10 to almost 30 yards. I don't know about that. Jacobs,
he had a couple big catches, that's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because he had over 100 yards in the game, right? All purpose.
Well, he had 25 receiving yards and 48 rushing, so it wasn't like he wasn't, and he only averaged 3.2 a carry. So, I mean, we held him in check. He was 15 for 48 on the game. So, I'm not sure if you meant Henderson from the prior game or he was referring to Jacobs there, because Henderson did have had over 100 yards against us.
Yeah, and we got another comment here, because we want to talk about, like, what is the problem? What is the crux of the issue? What are we doing wrong? You know, Skylar Stanley says, is anyone concerned with Evans? He looks terrible. Someone pointed out, for the life of me, I can't remember who pointed out on social media. I apologize for not giving you your proper credit here. But someone even said on the play where Josh Norman poked the ball out, it almost looked like Tremaine Edmonds was like lagging behind. He wasn't being his typical, usual aggressive self and getting his nose in the play. He was waiting for it to sort of like, he was waiting to see what Josh Norman did before he got involved. So an injury like Tremaine Edmonds has, do you think a guy like Tremaine Edmonds is maybe shying away from contact? That's why he's struggling to get off blocks. That's why he's struggling to make tackles, all these different things. He's trying to play maybe a more conservative game to preserve his body.
Yeah. I mean, it could be a mental thing right now for him, right? He's mentally maybe not ready to trust that shoulder yet. But the thing that concerned me more so was that scramble Derek Carr had where Tremaine Edmonds trying to chase him out of bounds. He looked kind of slow, honestly. I mean, you look at guys like Fred Warnyard last night for the Niners going side to the sideline. That's what we are used to seeing from Tremaine Edmonds last year. And he looked a little slower. Now, maybe that was just, you know, not a great angle or whatever, but you know, there could be a mental aspect of this tier too for him not trusting that shoulder yet to kind of go in there and get his nose in there.
Yeah, and you know, let's focus on fixing the defense, right? Because it looked like in that fourth quarter we had things were getting a little bit better. Things are still a little shaky in the secondary, and I think a lot of that's coming from, like I said, the Bills game plan is always we're going to get pressure with four guys, we're going to get pressure with five guys, we're going to play zone defense. It's going to take the pressure off the secondary, but right now that pressure is just not getting there. And I understand that some of it's out of the Buffalo Bills' control. The NFL is not calling those ticky-tack holdings. I understand that. You know, your defensive ends, you're struggling to do what you do well because of the rules are right now pegged against you. So to me, that means if you're the Buffalo Bills, you got to switch up what you're doing, and you got to get a little bit more aggressive in the blitzes. And here's where I'm concerned. Leslie Frazier is not known as the most aggressive person in the world. He's no Greg Williams. He's no Mike Pettine. He's not going to be drawing up all these exotic blitzes and coming after your team's quarterback. That's just not how Leslie Frazier's wired. That's not his DNA. That's not what he's done in his time in the National Football League. And I understand that maybe Sean McDermott isn't wired that way either, because this is a lot of Sean McDermott's scheme that Leslie Frazier's running. But I said it at halftime yesterday, and I still stand by it. I think that, you know, if Sean McDermott doesn't take over the play calling, Sean McDermott needs to send the message this week that we need to start generating more pressure and sending more blitzes, because what we're doing right now, the way the NFL rules are structured, it just ain't working. What are your thoughts on Frazier's, you know, role as the play caller and what the Bills should do from a schematic standpoint?
I mean, this isn't unprecedented, right? I mean, this happened, I think, in 2017, if I'm not mistaken, when we went through that lull in the middle of the season. If I'm not mistaken, McDermott took over from Frazier. And then I think we came out and beat the Chiefs, actually, I think, in that in a road game. Look, I think something needs to change, right? I think either whether it's play calling duties or just schematically, you need to change something up, because, you know, our normal situation on defense is like we're not going to rush more than five. But, you know, without getting to the quarterback with four or five guys and knowing that the referees have been told like not to call as many ticky tack, like holding, for example, then your only chance really, based on what I've seen from the edge rushers we've got so far, is to bring extra guys. The concern you have with that now is like, if Milano's out, He would have been a prime candidate to do that. Edmonds with the shoulder, do you really want him going full speed in there? He might be your best option, and you're not going to send AJ Klein from the linebacker spot. So who, what do you do? Do you start bringing safeties into blitz like Jordan Poyer, who's done that before? Or do you start bringing more corner blitzes? But it's like, now you're starting to talk about things that are kind of outside the norm for Leslie Frazier and Sean McDermott. So I just wonder what personnel is going to do this, right? If you're going to start kind of changing your scheme a little bit.
Yeah. We got Elliot. Excuse me, Elliot with the comment. He says, how the F is the Pats defense good? It's frustrating. It is frustrating. But the reason why the Patriots defense is good is because schematically, essentially what Bill Belichick has done is he has realized, you know, in this day and age, if they're not going to call those ticky-tack holdings and things like that, you know, if you can't get your hands on those premier pass rushers, he's sort of realized, and other teams are starting to catch on to this as well. You know, you saw on Sunday Night Football, you know, Jim Schwartz is mimicking that in Philadelphia. Man-to-man, aggressive secondary, jamming guys the line, throwing off timing, throwing off rhythm, making the quarterback have to hold on to the football, because when the quarterback has to hold on to the football, then if you can't generate that quick pressure, you can get those covered sacks. So essentially, what Bill Belichick is doing is he's taking Gilmore, he's taking the McCourty twins, he's taking all those guys, and he is just getting in receivers' grills, and he is bumping and running, and that's the type of defense that New England runs. And that's not what the Buffalo Bills do. It's just not. What they are is very much a zone defense who rely on four or five guys to get the pressure, and a secondary with safeties disguising things and corners playing a little bit off to try to force those turnovers. That's what the Buffalo Bills do. It's just not that New England style. Whether it's right or wrong, it saves the Bills, I think, money in the long run, because what the Patriots like to do on defense is very expensive, because you got to pay all those DBs and you got to have some good ones. We got Scott Vanaloo coming in. What does Scott have to say here?
So Scott's talking about the Josh Allen hit here. Scares me the most, the sack Allen took, and he walked out of the locker room before halftime. Thought it was going to be serious injury, but he came on the second half. So that was the play where he kind of threw it left-handed to Diggs, and you know, they didn't even check to see if Diggs got the first down, which I thought was odd. But yeah, he landed on that left shoulder. A little bit of that hero ball, you know, trying to play that hero ball, which in that situation, I didn't necessarily mind it too much. Obviously, he got landed awkwardly, and then I think Arden Key came in and hit him in the head also, which wasn't really talked about. But look, we got lucky. We dodged a bullet there with that one. And I know we're going to talk about the offense a little bit, because John also mentions Darrell Williams killing it, unsung hero. So as we start transitioning to talking about the offense, we'll definitely hit on that, because I do want to give Darrell Williams his props. I do agree with John's comment here. He's been kind of like a silent hero on that offensive line.
My heart stopped when Josh Allen went down, because like my first thought came to mind, because I happened to be watching the Denver game when Drew Lock got hurt. And I happened to be watching the Jets game when Sam Darnold got hurt. So my first thought in my mind was like, oh, my God. My first thought was throwing arm or non-throwing arm. Then when I saw it was his non-throwing arm, I'm like, okay, as long as there's no serious damage, he can come back in and play. And then I saw him walk in the locker room, and I lost my damn mind. Like, I was at my in-law's house, and I was – struggling to keep myself from like crying in the middle of these people, like to not make them think I'm a weirdo. It was bad. Before we shift over to the offense, and we'll start with the offensive line, John, in a second, I want to get one more comment in about the defense, because Brandon Bean made a great signing when he signed Darrell Williams. So like going back to Brandon Bean, I think there's a couple of players sitting out on the free agent market that I think that the Buffalo Bills should consider in order to, we're in a Super Bowl window, folks. We are legitimately, in my opinion, in a Super Bowl window. If Josh Allen keeps playing like this, we are Super Bowl contenders this year. We are Super Bowl contenders next year. And if we want to make the push this year, I think there are three players that could help this defense right now. Number one is Lorenzo Alexander. At what point do you give Zoe a call? These linebackers are banged up, whether it's Edmonds playing at what looks like maybe 60% of what he is. Matt Milano is out again with a pectoral strain. AJ Klein just fucking sucks. He's terrible. You called it. I said, yeah. I wasn't worried about it. I trusted Sean McDermott. Fuck me. You were right. Like, that dude sucks. Oh my God. When 95-year-old Jason Witten is catching touchdowns over you, go fuck
yourself. Old man touchdowns.
Like, oh my
God. Old man touchdowns.
Oh my God. give Lorenzo a call. Maybe it helps your pass rush. Get those A-gap blitzes with Lorenzo. Get Lorenzo involved. He could take some pressure off those linebackers. He can get another veteran in the room, another veteran presence in the room. Get Lorenzo on the phone already, dang it, and get him signed. That's number one. Number two is Snacks Harrison. And the reason why I say Snacks Harrison is because I know that he's not a pass rusher. But our interior defensive line is legitimately all three techniques. Harrison Phillips, Quentin Jefferson, Vernon Butler, Ed Oliver, they are all three techs. We lost Star Lotulelei. We need a big, like I'm generalizing here, but we need a big fat guy to just eat up blockers so our three techs can rush the passer. That's Snacks Harrison, folks. Go get Snacks Harrison. He's on the fence about wanting to play in this COVID type of season. He's saying he's weighing his options. If the Buffalo Bills call the way Josh Allen is playing and the way Brandon Bean can say, hey, we haven't had a single positive test. Like, we're killing it in terms of our procedures and our protocol. We're winning football games. We have a stud quarterback. Come on, Snacks. Come help put us over the top. I think you can sell it. And number three, I understand that Josh Norman played well. Levi Wallace now has that sprained ankle. I don't want to take any more chances in the secondary. Prince Amukamara, another decent veteran in the secondary. Maybe you can even play Amukamara in the nickel for Teron Johnson, who's also kind of a heap of dog crap right now. Like he's either really good or really bad. There's no in between. He either makes a play, you're like, wow, Teron Johnson, you're really good. Or holy shit, Teron Johnson, you're really bad. Like that is Teron Johnson right now. So between Lorenzo, Snacks, and Amukamara, who you can all get on prorated salaries, who you can probably all get for decent salaries. I'm not like we're sitting on some money right now. I think we have about $20 million to spend. Go get those three guys on the line. Get them.
Get them all on the line.
We got the pullout king saying, "Go get Ray Lewis and London Fletcher. Go get Luke Kuechly." Like, I'm not trying to sound like I'm playing Madden here, but I think all three of those guys are realistic veterans who can come in here right now and help shore up some really weak parts of this defense. Bring some veteran leadership into this defense. Bring some more depth in this defense. Take some pressure off of people, and help us play better football. Like, help us play better football. And Richard says, is Prince primarily a man corner? In my opinion, he could play both. And even then, like, we're playing some man, especially from the slot. So it might be able to help us out there a little bit. Someone says, you don't ditch process for players you think will help.
But Lorenzo's been in the system. So why not call him up?
I don't know about that, guys. Delshawn Phillips has been on IR or has been on the injured list for 4 weeks. How did they not IR this dude? He's been out for a month. Right. Why did you not put that guy on IR? Is Delshawn Phillips going to show up like 3 weeks from now and be the next Thomas Davis? Like, what the hell are we doing not putting that guy on IR and bringing a guy off the roster? But
now Elliot says, I think Bean will make the appropriate moves after he sees how we stack up against the Chiefs. But wouldn't you want to be proactive and try to just do whatever you can to beat the Chiefs? Because, like, let's be honest, like that could be the game for the number one seed where there's only one team that gets a bye. You gotta throw everything you can at the Chiefs to try to beat them. So while I understand where Elliot's coming from, to like kind of like see how you stack up against the elite of the AFC, I would do it sooner. So
Randy Hartman says he's that good at special teams. You don't want to expose him on the practice squad. I mean, to me, like I said. My dogs are upset with me. My dogs are trusting the process right now.
They don't want snacks.
They don't want snacks. They want. But I mean, to me, at the end of the day, like I try to avoid those like Madden takes, and I don't think any of those three guys are a Madden take. I think that those guys are all legitimately players that you could bring in here that wouldn't rock the boat, that are realistic. Whether it's one of them, whether it's all three of them. We've already had didn't we have Prince Amukamara in for a visit?
That was, yeah. Like
we had Prince in for a visit, and Lorenzo has even told the Bills, he's like, I'm on call, guys. Don't you worry. So the combination of those two, you know, are legitimate options because the Bills have explored them all. So Daniel Gowry says, per spot track, the Bills have $4.9 million in cap space. All right, maybe that's why not. I thought they had more than that, but I guess I might be wrong. All right. So let's move on now to something that maybe is less heated of a topic, and that's our offensive identity. So, I mean, this offense is absolutely en fuego, I believe is the word that Joe Miller used on his podcast today. And Joe's in the comment section.
Yes, I'm so glad Joe is here because of what we're about to do.
What I want to do, ladies and gentlemen, is I actually want to play you a segment of Joe Miller's podcast from today.
Before you do, can I think it was Elliot who said he dips his lobster in Joe Miller's voice before he eats it. That's how buttery it is.
So I want to play for you guys a clip from Joe Miller's podcast today. The Overreaction Sports Podcast drops every Monday morning on the Buffalo Fanatics Podcasting Network. And I want to have a conversation with you, Dave, about this because it really stood out to me and it really spoke to me. And for some reason, Joe decided to bury it in the last 10 minutes of his hour-long podcast. I don't know why. This should have been the lead, Joe. You buried the lead, my man. So I want to play this clip for you guys.
Josh Allen, like, is the air express. Josh Allen is fire right now. Josh Allen is throwing darts and dimes all over the football game or all over the football field. He's literally, we're talking about an offense. What do we know about this offense right now? It's four games in. This offense wants to be a prolific, high-flying, pass-first offense, period. Have you seen something different from this offense? What happened in the Jets game? First series in the Jets game. Pass, 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 pass. Josh Allen run, pass, 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 pass. Josh Allen run, pass, pass, pass. The same thing happened in the Dolphins game. They came out in the Rams game. Pass, pass, pass. What did they do in the Raiders game yesterday? Pass, 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 pass. Run, run, pass, pass, pass. This team is basically convinced that they can beat anybody they're playing. They can beat anybody they're playing with the pass, with Josh Allen. We're seeing it again. We've talked about it on this show. And if you're new to the show, go back and listen to a couple of the other episodes. We've talked about it on the show that this team trusts their quarterback. These coaches trust their quarterback. The plays that they're giving him. Third and one, he drops back and he throws a deep ball to Stephon Diggs. You would not have seen that last year or the year before. Maybe not in the last 20 years.
Yeah. Like, well, what I'm saying, like, that was, you bury the lead, Joe. That was absolutely incredible. What is the identity of this Buffalo Bills offense? It is Josh Allen and it is throwing the football. I mean, this guy is our offense. He is. That's why I literally had a heart attack when he got hurt because we were donezo. We were dead in the water when Josh Allen went out. He is this offense, and the players love him and support him. John Feliciano was tweeting during the game, like, God, I love this man, talking about his quarterback. I mean, these players rally around this guy. They believe in this guy. He's second in the NFL in passing. He's second in passing touchdowns. He's second in 20-plus yard completions. He's got four plays this year over 40-plus yards. We used this phrase earlier this year, Dave. He's Air Raid Allen. It's chunk plays. There's no down and distance that is too long for Josh Allen. I mean, Allen on 10-plus yards in the air last week, or yesterday, I should say, against the Oakland Raiders, 8 for 8 for 160 yards and 2 touchdowns. We have trailed in 7% of the snaps this season, which is the lowest total in the league. We have literally been trailing this year for 4 minutes and 15 seconds. That is what this football team is now. They are a throwing football team. They are an offensive juggernaut. That is the identity of this football team now.
It's the identity of the football team. And the one thing we were talking about as we opened up the year going into that Jets game is, like, what was going to happen with this offense? Were they going to turn the entire organizational keys over to Allen this year and put their trust in him, being McDermott, mm-hmm. ride or die with Allen, put it on his arm, knowing that for the ceiling to be reached, this is kind of what you had to do, right? This is what you had to do with Allen, and they've done it. So what happens after the first couple games? We say, okay, come out on the Jets, pass, 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 like Joe said, Miami, pass, pass. Okay, well, maybe it was just like a little more Jets, we thought, okay, that could be game plan specific because we figured they had a tough defensive front, but their corners weren't that good. Against Miami, we kind of thought the opposite. Oh, they've got good corners. Maybe we attack them with the run. We didn't. Rams, Jalen Ramsey, and the like. Okay, still did it anyway. Mm-hmm. So this is the identity of the team now. Like, we're not going to have to guess, I don't think, anymore. Will there be days, will there be games where it's not completely air raid? Maybe. We may be, right? But like the primary identity of the offense now is to pass to set up the run. I believe Elliott said that. We said that in the pregame for the Raiders game, pass to set up the run. The keys have been fully handed over to Allen in this pass first offense. The guy's throwing absolute dimes, like Joe said. The pass to John Brown that was a touchdown that wasn't, to be honest with you, was probably the best pass he threw all game, in my opinion. So this is the offense, folks, and be excited, embrace it, right? Like we're going to have, there's going to be some rough days. Like, honestly, like we talked about this over under 400 yards for this offense in this game. You were like, oh, over. And I was like under, and you think about it, you go back and we were under, but did it feel like it? No, it didn't really feel like it. It felt like we were still efficient, and we were, right? It was just a matter of possessions and the fact that the Raiders did hold the ball longer than, you know, they did hold the ball quite a bit. So, but efficiency, we were great. I mean, we were really great. And this is the offense. So, and guess what? You're going to need that to beat the Chiefs. You're going to need that to beat the Ravens. You know, possibly the Steelers as well. So, I mean, this is the type of offense that can lead you to the promised land. Randy Bobandy, your favorite here, Steve. Cole Beasley's catch, how he just got up. That was like that Cuba Gooding Jr. scene in Jerry Maguire, where he just gets up. Arizona reference there for you, buddy. I mean, this is the offense now, and Joe is spot on, and I'm glad we got to replay his sweet buttery voice there.
Yeah, we got to bring the viewers here somehow. Clearly our voices aren't getting it done. So we got another comment here from Air Raid, or from Zach Allen, and he says hashtag Air Raid Allen. And here's what I want to do for you people, because I feel like, you know what? Like we stay pretty quiet, Dave. We stay pretty quiet. We stay pretty to ourselves. You know, we're not people who seek out the glory. We're content with our little YouTube show here, you know, but there have been a number of times over the past 3 years since we started this podcast where we have started a conversation or we've started a talking point or we've coined a phrase and it was quickly taken over by other people. And, you know, we don't like to make a big stink about it. We don't like to make a big deal about it. But I am putting my foot in the ground because Joe Miller and a couple of others, Kyle Brandt on Good Morning Football this morning too, trying to steal my phrase, ladies and gentlemen.
That was your phrase. That was
We titled a podcast in April, Air Raid Allen, where we were talking about the addition of Stephon
Diggs. We've got the receipts.
I was playing Madden this summer. And I was throwing tutties like crazy with Josh Allen, and I tweeted about it, and I hashtagged Air Raid Allen. I was the first one to use that hashtag. So here's what I'm doing for you, Bills Mafia. Here's what I'm doing for you, you loyal Buffalo Fanatics listeners. What I am trying to get done right now, what I am trying to do behind the scenes, is I am trying to create an Air Raid Allen t-shirt or an Air Raid Allen logo to sell in the BF fan shop, to put on a hoodie, to put on a t-shirt, to put on a mask. Whatever you want. I want a graphic created, and I want the phrase Air Raid Allen on a t-shirt.
Let me ask you this. Let me run this idea by you. Mm-hmm. Could we have like little footballs with like little, like, you know, torpedo backs to them and like landing on targets or something
with
like
the,
that?
What they call those footballs with little things at the end of them? And they like,
those were like those Nerf footballs. Yeah. Well, someone in the comments bring it up. They had the whistle in them. You could throw it like it was like a spiral every time. Get some of those with some targets on the shirt and just have them like knocking it. Yeah, something like that would be sweet.
Well, and here's what I'm going to say too. I really want this to happen. And not just because if it's my idea, I get a cut of all of the sales. That's not why I want
all proceeds go to Judge Mathis.
What I need you guys to do right now, if you are in this text,
Vortex. Thank you, Elliot. Nerf Vortex. Thank you. Sorry.
What I need you guys to do is, I don't see Bobby, Pierre, or Rico in the comment section today. So what I need you guys to do is I need you to wake them up. I need you to disturb them from whatever they are doing right now. I need everyone in the comment section to text the BF Text Club right now. 716-219-0086. I need you to text them and demand an Air Raid Allen swag in the BF fan shop. That's what you should tell them. Be like, where's the Air Raid Allen gear in the BF fan shop? What are you guys doing? Where is the Air Raid Allen gear? Blow them up. 716-219-0086. It's also in the bottom banner. Blow them up right now. Wake them up. Disturb their family time.
Scott says we don't trademark it. It's not yours. So you, it's probably already trademarked at this point. You need to go look into that. Get that thing trademarked, man.
I do need to get that trademark at this point. Thank you, Scott Blakely. I appreciate that. All right. So, I mean, at the end of the day, like, this offense lives and dies by Josh Allen's big plays and by the plays that he makes. Just have a picture of Allen with the bazookas. Like, see, I like that. That's what I'm talking about. My original thing was like to go very what's the word you look for? Minimalist with it. Where, like, you know how they have the Air Allen with the Michael Jordan sort of logo with him hopping?
Yeah.
I was thinking of going minimalist with it, with like a bomber dropping footballs.
Yeah, we kind of use that. Oh, I say you weren't gonna do like the jump because we already did that with him jumping over a bar. But yeah, that's not a bad idea. I kind of like that. Minimalist.
Yes. Nice. Thank you, Elliot. Blow them up. Blow them up. Air Raid Allen all day. Tell him Judge Mathis sent you. Did you guys get my text on Twitter I just sent you? I haven't got it yet, Bills guys. I haven't got it yet, but I will check it after the show. I try to keep my focus on the show when we're doing this, so I don't check the Twitter because I am very, very bad at multitasking, so I do apologize for that. But back to this offense a little bit, and Brian Daboll. We saw Bill O'Brien get fired today by the Houston Texans. And there are going to be a couple of other openings in the National Football League. I think Matt Patricia's done in Detroit. Gase is going to be done in New York. Yeah. There will be some openings in the National Football League. And if I'm looking realistically at head coaching candidates, to me, it's Eric Bieniemy and Brian Daboll. They stand out above the rest. They stand up out above the field. In a day and age where people prefer offense, in a day and age where people prefer high-scoring offenses, you know, between Eric Bieniemy, who comes from the Andy Reid tree, and Brian Daboll, who comes from this culture that Sean McDermott has created, has done something that many are claimed to be unprecedented in turning Josh Allen into an NFL quarterback, having the Nick Saban and the Bill Belichick ties. He's as good as gone, folks. So my question to you, Dave, is when he's gone in 2021, what would your approach be to filling the role of offensive coordinator for the Buffalo Bills?
So I thought about this a little bit, right? And my approach would be one of two things. Either one, you know, how much credit are we going to give Ken Dorsey for this as well, for Josh Allen's development? Haven't heard. Okay, so you're giving zero.
I'll give him none.
You'll give him none. So that would be a possible in-house candidate with familiarity with the offense, continuity to the extent that you'd have it with him. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if I like that, right? I think I might rather have like a young quarterback coach in the NFL, or maybe like a hotshot college coach who's an offensive guy, offensive background. I mean, you're not going to get Lincoln Riley. He's probably going to, you know, if he leaves, he's probably going to go straight to head coaching. But a guy who's like a really reputable offensive mind from the college ranks, or maybe an up and coming sort of offensive assistant from a team with a good offense, like a quarterback's coach. We saw, I know you're not a fan of him, but like a Zach Taylor type that came from the Rams that got to the Bengals, but someone like that, maybe who's got like good reputation amongst the inner circles of the NFL offensive minds. I think I would prefer that over kind of going with Dorsey, just because I think that, I don't know, Dorsey doesn't really excite me, although I like the fact that he's in-house already, Bill O'Brien to the Jets. I will tell you what, not to get too sidetracked, but that
my dreams come true.
But Eric Bieniemy and Brian Daboll, if they're hot commodities, they're not going to the Jets, folks. They're going to be going to the Texans, a team with a Deshaun Watson. I mean, hell, I'm not saying this is going to happen, but if Anthony Lynn gets fired in LA, going to LA with Justin Herbert is appealing to me.
Brian Daboll makes a lot of sense to work with Justin Herbert, who has a lot of similarities to Josh Allen.
And Justin Herbert looks good. And I don't know if that's going to get Anthony Lynn another year, but like, I don't know how much longer his leash is going to be in LA. So
you even mentioned Dan Quinn.
Falcons. I mean, yeah, you could get Matt Ryan in his twilight, but man, they've got Calvin Ridley, Julio, Hayden Hurst, you know, they've got weapons. So like you can make a run with them. The Jets would be like the lowest team on my list. Like the Jets are going to get a guy who's like desperate for a head coaching gig, who maybe is like at the lower rungs of like getting talked about. But anyway, getting back to your question, it's either for me, it's Dorsey's kind of the obvious in-house candidate, or do you go for like a young and up-and-coming quarterback coach or a guy from college?
Yeah, I mean, to me, I would hate it if Ken Dorsey was elevated, and here's why. To me, no offense to Ken Dorsey, he seems like a nice guy, but to me, he reminds me of like a container of vanilla ice cream. Like the yes. dude is just so he's so boring. He's so bland.
He's plain yogurt, man. He doesn't even have a flavor.
He is plain Greek yogurt. you know, it would be like Ralph Wilson era Bills to promote Ken Dorsey. We need to understand, people, that we are legitimately in a Super Bowl window. We are in a Super Bowl window. These next 2-3 years, this is our window. Like the LA Rams had with Jared Goff on his rookie contract. This is our window to win the Super Bowl. And, you know, Kyle Knapp, host of Knapp Knows Bills, he's hoping to goodness that the Bills make such a big run in the playoffs that teams don't want to wait for Brian Daboll. Like, cross our fingers and let's hope it doesn't come to the fact that Brian Daboll leaves. But if Brian Daboll leaves and he's gone, like, it's just such a Ralph Wilson era Bills move to promote Ken Dorsey. Give me a hotshot college head coach, you know, give me a hotshot college coordinator. The coordinator at Clemson, whose name I'm blanking on, was getting looks to be Dallas's head coach. That's their offensive coordinator, not Dabo Sweeney. Dino Babers could be on the outs in Syracuse. He runs the veer and shoot, which is very similar to the offense that the Buffalo Bills are running this year. Spread him out to run the football. Dino Babers could be a guy like, hey, Dino, Syracuse sucks. You want to come here and, you know, run an offense with Josh Allen? Maybe get some head coaching looks in the future. You know, so give me a college coach. Give me a fired, like a fired coach with a quality reputation. I understand that Bill O'Brien has a personality problem. I understand that, you know, Joe Marino was talking on Twitter to me and Greg Thompson said about how he runs on first down more than any other coach in the National Football League. So there are some warts to a Bill O'Brien type of hire. But at the end of the day, Brian Daboll comes from the New England tree. Bill O'Brien comes from the New England tree. There are similarities there. They both run that Earhart Perkins scheme, and they both run a little bit of the spread. So there are things there, okay, that you can utilize. So to me, go out and find someone that is going to help you win a Super Bowl. And I just can't picture that. I just can't picture that with Ken Dorsey. Thomas Burke, thank you. Dino Babers all day. I'm on the Dino Babers train. I love Dino Babers. I've been saying for 2-3 years now that number one, it's an absolute embarrassment that the best Dino Babers can do in college football is Syracuse University. Like that dude should be coaching a real Power Five.
Look, don't get me started. My guys at NC State have Dave Doran. All my friends know I cannot stand Dave Doran. He's going into his 8th year. He's 22 and 36 in the ACC as a head coach. Came from Northern Illinois. Guy hasn't done anything, in my opinion, and these guys all defend him. Give me Dino Babers at NC State, baby. Bring him down here. Let's get him. Yeah. We put out quarterbacks in the NFL. I'll say that. Yeah. So he'd have a chance.
Arizona Anime says, you guys are out of your minds. You're the number 2 offense in the league, and you want to change the scheme. You're out of your effing minds. To me, I'd rather change. I'd make some slight adjustments to it and to bring in a better play caller than a guy who's never done it before, and Ken Dorsey. Like, really? We're going to trust Ken Dorsey to call
just
the plays?
Just because Ken Dorsey has the same scheme doesn't mean that he's going to be able to call the plays like Brian
Daboll does. All right. So last but not least, before we start taking some Q&A from the viewers, I want to talk about we're a quarter of the season through. We've gone through 4 games. Let's look at our next 4. We are hopefully at Tennessee. Let's hope. Let's hope and pray.
Tomorrow's the big day for that.
Yeah, Thursday's show is going to be a train wreck if there's no game this week. I don't know what we're going to talk about. Craft beers and Dino Babers we're going to talk about. Tennessee Titans, home versus the Chiefs on a short week, at the Jets, and at home versus the Patriots. I look at these next 4 games. Tennessee is very good. They might be shorthanded because of COVID and all that stuff. Kansas City's clearly very good. The Jets suck. New England, you know,
they're hanging in there today.
They're hanging in there. And it's 6-3 right now against Kansas City. They don't even have Cam Newton. Once they get Cam Newton back, they're still hanging around. Like, fuck Bill Belichick. God damn you for being so good at your job. Fuck. I hate it. But anyway, this is a tough schedule, right? Like, this is tough.
Oh, yes.
We're 4-0. I look at the schedule and I think to myself, man, I'd be really content with 500. 6-2 heading into that next stretch. Halfway through the season.
Yep.
Is that the wrong mindset right now? Is that the wrong mindset with the way we're playing football
the way our quarterback is playing, the team that we've built, the roster we've assembled, you know, the expectations we have for the season, is it the wrong mindset to say, like, yeah, I'd take 2-2? If you told me right now we go 2-2 in that stretch, I'll take it. Is that the wrong mindset?
I don't think it's the wrong mindset because, I mean, you're talking about two teams other than the AFC championship game last year and the Chiefs and the Titans. The Patriots, who clearly aren't going away, we've seen them hang with Kansas City tonight, and the Jets are kind of the one that you pencil in as a win. I would, I mean, ideally, I would say like 3-1 over this stretch, and if you lose to Kansas City, you know, you're okay with it, and that's fine. The whole thing with going 2-2 there and you go 6-2 the first half of the season, we said before the season started, and we, you know, we got kind of killed for this by a lot of people, but like 9 or 10 wins potentially is going to win this division. You know, if the Pats sneak one out tonight, that's huge. But ultimately, like, the Pats still have to play the same tough schedule we do. Mm-hmm. And so they're going to lose a couple games. Like, I just don't see them winning 11, 12 games. So 2-2 over the stretch, I don't think it's unreasonable. I think if you beat Kansas City and you beat New England, or if you beat New England and you beat the Jets, I should say, at least you get a division win. You get two division wins, I should say. And then you lose to two teams that were in the AFC championship game. That's out of the 2-2 that you would win and lose. Those would probably be the two that you'd want to win. The only argument would be that if you beat Kansas City, that you're potentially going to be in the running for that number one seed where there's only one bye week this year. So that's, you know, you go for it. Obviously you love to go 4-0, but like realistically, you'd probably be okay with 2-2 at the end of the day.
Yeah. You know, our guy, Zach Allen, says 3-1. Kyle Wilson says 3-1.
3-1 would be, I'd be very happy with 3-1.
I like Thomas Burke's comment. I lost it here, but he says wrong answer. Think wins, not 2-2. So maybe just like, maybe it's wrong to look at this. Like, maybe it's wrong to look at this four games at a time, right? Like, maybe we should just be looking at it like one game at a time. Like, all right, let's focus on the Titans after the Titans game. Let's focus on the Chiefs. Maybe that's better for like our overall health and well-being. Maybe that's like just a better way to approach life. Like, I don't know.
That's the job for the coaches. That's the job for the coaches and the players. For us, we can look ahead. We're not coaches. We're not players.
Listen, week 17, we're playing the Dolphins. What are your thoughts? Do we even play the Dolphins week 17?
I don't know, but two will be in by then, I would think.
All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, I mean, we've just about rolled through it. This has been a really solid hour. The only thing I have left in my notes, I got a couple of things left in my notes, but you know what? We can save it.
You might want to say that in case the Titans game.
These are all things we could save in case the Titans game gets canceled. So what I want from you guys right now is we're going to open it up. Like, what do you guys want to talk about? Let's see. What? This is in the third quarter now of this football game, but
I like this comment. If we're going to open this up right now, I like this comment from Zachary Madden. Seattle coming after New England could be the matchup for MVP, meaning I think Russell Wilson versus Josh Allen for MVP. So obviously you look at Russell Wilson. He's the class of the NFC right now from a quarterback's perspective, but don't count on Aaron Rodgers too, by the way. We'll see how he does tonight. And Allen, you know, up there in the AFC. So you think about it, NFC, kind of the big two right now are Wilson, or the big three are like Wilson, Rodgers, and Dak. And in the AFC, the big three are Allen, Mahomes, and Lamar, right? So, I mean, yeah, this is exciting that Allen's in the mix here. And honestly, like, I mean, Casey Reed, our guy, wrote the article about like the arguments for Josh Allen MVP. You could make the case that his performances have been more impressive than Russell Wilson's given the jump he's made, right? We've seen Russell Wilson play at MVP caliber before. Shocking that he doesn't have an MVP to his name already, to be honest with you. But you can make the case that Allen's jump is more impressive and thus kind of like puts him over the top of Wilson. So that's a good debate to have. But man, New England looks like they're not going anywhere.
I think, seeing as it's a thing that like writers and stuff vote on, I think that's something that might be hard for Josh Allen to win.
Yes.
Number one.
Yes.
And I think a lot of people, like Chris Collinsworth has even said it before. He's like, I kind of feel guilty that like Russell Wilson hasn't won it once. He was talking on Sunday Night Football. He was like, I filled out my ballot wrong. You think about it nowadays, in this day and age, he filled out his ballot wrong. He voted for Russell Wilson, but he filled out his ballot wrong. Like in this day and age, you can't send it back and be like, dude, you filled it out wrong. Can you, you know, resend it? Like, no, it's still like old school. I think they use carrier pigeons for the
Pigeons. They are still Morse fill code. In the little circles like the, yeah, like the voting.
It's Morse code. There was a hanging Chad for Chris Collinsworth's ballot when he chose Russell Wilson. So Russell Wilson didn't get like any MVP votes last year. And I think there's all like there's something to be said about like guys who are going to get their due. So like we're projecting here. We're legitimately just crazy ass projecting here. But if you multiply these seasons times four, you know, like you could do or multiply by three, four. Would you multiply? You multiply by four. I'm not a math guy, as you can tell here. But if you multiply by four, and it was Russ Wilson and Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers and Josh Allen, I think there might be something to be said about how the voters would think that Russell Wilson is due. You know what I'm saying? So that plays into it as well. Coach Reese chimed in. He said, have we talked about the defense yet? Well, yeah, we spent like the first 30 minutes on the defense, but he said any optimistic views. And I will say this. Yeah. I didn't get a chance to talk about this in the comment section. The first of all being, it looks like Tremaine Edmonds isn't healthy. So once Tremaine Edmonds gets healthy, that could be something that pops it up. And there was a couple of comments on Twitter from some players about the Buffalo Bills defense this week or today. Number one came from Jamal Adams, who didn't play yesterday. And he was tweeting during the games. And he was tweeting about the Buffalo Bills. He tweeted about the Buffalo Bills. He said, man, I respect the way they play team ball on defense. Like, I really respect – I hate them. He hates the Bills. Wow. Why? Because we kick his ass every time we played them? I don't know. Mm-hmm. But he hates the Bills, but he loves the way and he respects the way they play defense. So maybe, as a commenter said earlier – maybe it's just a lack of preseason. Maybe they're just still trying to get things right, and they'll figure it out. And Darren Waller said, like, hey, they're confident in what they do. The reason why I had a ton of catches and yards this week is because, like, they're not focused on me. They're just focused on playing their team defense. Like, they're going to go out there every week and do what they do. They don't care who they're playing. So,
but is that a flaw, though? I mean, is that?
I don't know. Like, there is that hope that it had been successful up to this point.
Right.
Maybe they're due eventually. Like they're due. You know, Joe Miller says stop over pursuing. I think the lack of big fat guy in the middle is causing three techs and edges to be a little crazy. I think the injuries at linebacker are forcing everyone in the secondary to over pursue and maybe play a little too aggressive. There could be a lot of things that play into it. Whatever it is, we got to get it fixed clearly. But I don't think I'm willing to hit the panic button yet. And I would still say I'm pretty optimistic we can get it together. And if we do, if our defense can anything resemble the defense of last year and Josh Allen keeps his pace up, good Lord. I mean, wow.
Well, and like, I mean, we have to take away some of the positives here too, right? The run defense against a team that we, at least I thought, could run against us pretty well with that big offensive line and Josh Jacobs. We held him under 50 yards on the ground, 3.2 a carry. So there are some signs of optimism there, I guess, to answer the question.
I like this comment from Carmen. He says, our offensive success has changed our defensive scheme from attack to bend but don't break. My question here is why? Like, I'm not saying you're wrong, Carmen. I'm not – is it to give the offense a breather? Is it like if you're turning to bend but don't break, then the other team's chewing clock and you get less possessions for your potent offense. So I get it, Carmen. Like, I get what you're saying. Like, the – team, maybe it's because, you know, so I've heard this comment made multiple times. Teams are approaching the Buffalo Bills differently because they know they have to score more points. So maybe your Carmen, your comes into play, like keep everything in front of you, really, you know, hunker down when you get to the red zone. Maybe that's like, I see where you're coming from, but I don't know how much I want to commit to that because I want the ball in their offensive hands. I don't want to see the defense anymore. I used to like legitimately, like when you're watching a football game, you want to watch the offense. Like your defense, you kind of want them to just be on the sideline. You want to watch your offense, right? Mm-hmm. But like this, like there's been years past where I'm like, man, I want the defense to get out there because I want to see what they can do. Like that's just what we are as Bills fans. Like our defense is a bit more exciting. But I don't want to see our defense anymore. I don't want to see them. Sorry. I don't.
I agree. I think that there's a convoluted argument or a convoluted way you could spin this to say, hey, you know, Ben Brook don't break. We're doing that because like we're okay giving up three, whereas in the past we had to be so, you know, so sound, so tight on defense because even giving up three was like a huge, like that was a huge detriment, right? Because the offense couldn't score that many points. I don't think that's the reason. I would still like to see them play that same defense. So I'm just saying maybe that's like a convoluted kind of way to think about it, but it's not for me. Not for me.
Yeah. John DeMarche again, he chimes in with quick point. Andre Roberts keeps making plays. We shouted out Andre Roberts earlier, but it probably wasn't loud enough. We shouted him out right in the show's open when we talked about Josh Norman, Stephon Diggs, Quentin Jefferson, Josh Allen, John Brown, and it was Andre Roberts. It was those five guys legitimately won us this football game. Whether it was Andre Roberts kicked things off with that big punt return, and he's putting us in incredible field position. Then Josh Allen threw that ball to John Brown, which should have been a freaking touchdown. I don't understand what's going on. So far this season, NFL refs have taken touchdown away and given Josh Allen an interception he doesn't deserve. So
the explanation was that because during the catch he was going to the ground, their explanation was that he had to show that he maintained possession all the way through the ground, because they said as he was catching it, he was going to the ground, as opposed to just catching it and standing up and being across the plane, which that's the explanation they gave. That's the explanation they gave.
Why do they have to make it so complicated? It was a freaking catch. It was a freaking touchdown. You know what I'm saying?
I know. Is he going to get fined? Is he going to get fined for that comment, you think, that he made?
Who? I didn't see it. Who made what comment?
John Brown said something. He made some comment about, I don't know what they were looking at, or he made some comment that was kind of like a shot at the refs. So I wonder if a fine might be coming his way.
Here's what I will say, folks. Here's what I will say. I need you right now, head over to your phones, text the BF Text Club 716-219-0086. Demand that Air Raid Allen t-shirt, and all proceeds will go to paying John Brown's fine, because that was a touchdown, folks. Mm-hmm. So head on over, type in that phone number, hashtag Air Raid Allen, send it to the chat line, wake Pierre up, wake Rico up.
Wake him up.
Tell them you want that Air Raid Allen t-shirt, and I will donate all of my proceeds to the John Brown fine club. Got Andrew Miller in here. Says, you ever heard of forward progress in a pocket with that fumble that wasn't called a fumble?
The Derek Carr one, right? He's talking
about. Yeah. That's a great question. I wasn't really upset by that one. I know that some people were. You know, that one didn't bug me. I mean, and maybe if we would have lost the game, it would have bugged me more. I'm trying to think if I've ever heard of forward progress called in a pocket. I think I have, like right when the quarterback's wrapped up and they don't want the quarterback to get dragged to the ground.
Right.
They'll blow that whistle. The question was a whistle ever blown? I don't remember a whistle being blown. It almost seemed like
they said there was, but I didn't hear it. Yeah.
I didn't hear it either. So that's another thing that's rough, right? When you want to challenge a play, all the ref has to do, like even if the whistle comes like way late, there was a play in the Rams game that I'm blanking on. That the same thing happened. Like, even if the play comes way later, like the whistle comes way later, all the referee had to do was say like, oh, I was fumbling for my whistle. I meant to blow it earlier. That's all the referee's got to say. And then all of a sudden you can't challenge it. Like you can't. Yeah. So it's just, there's just too much judgment involved. You know, the argument can be made that we're living in like too officiated of a world. The argument can be that we're living in a world that's not officiated enough. It all depends, because we sat here for the first half hour and complained how they're not calling holds, right?
Right.
Like,
right.
We just sat here and complained how they're not calling holding. So it's finally nice to have an offense that's so good that none of this shit matters, right? Like, the old Buffalo Bills, who are averaging 19 points a game and are fighting tooth and nail to win every single football game, and Josh Allen's having to lead us from behind, and the defense is having to carry the way. We freak out and lose our damn minds over though every single thing the referee does, because that is the game. Here, we don't have to do it anymore. We don't have to worry about that anymore, because our offense is so freaking good. It doesn't matter, you know? So maybe that's the positive we could take out of this. All right, ladies and gentlemen, anything left for us? I heard that Brian Hoyer fumbled is Jared Stidham hurt, or they just think Brian Hoyer is better?
Man.
Who's QB2 this game?
It's got to be Stidham, right?
Okay, so remember this offseason when we had a conversation about how there were people out there that were picking New England to win the AFC East even before Cam Newton, which was ludicrous, because I mean, look at this right now. They're only reason they're winning, or the only reason it's close right now, is because Patrick Mahomes hasn't, you know, turned on his on switch. The second thing was, like, people were saying, oh, Jared Stidham, you know, he's going to be a top 15 NFL quarterback this year. Oh, Bill Belichick, he's a genius. Jared Stidham's going to blow up this year. And people were ranking, like, Jared Stidham ahead of Josh Allen, and people were ranking Jared Stidham ahead of, like, Matt Stafford. Like, it was lunacy. I think I've said the F word too much tonight, so I'm going to stop myself from saying the F word. But it was lunacy. Lunacy.
But they are hanging in there with the Chiefs tonight. Gotta give them a little bit of credit. I mean, I hate to give them credit, but
I'll tell you this. I got into some hot water on Twitter because BFL Mafia News, another regular here, we appreciate it. He says, find the cheap shot on Allen's shoulder. I struggle with this. When I watched it live, I thought to myself, I'm not mad at what Arden Key did. It almost looked like Arden Key was trying to avoid the play. Like he was trying to jump over it. So I wasn't really mad, but then if you slow it down, he kind of is like lowering the shoulder, and there was no need to. I don't know how I feel about that play. How do you feel about that play?
Well, it looked like based on the picture, he kind of like grabbed the face mask to kind of like pull his helmet in towards Josh Allen's helmet. Now in real time, it looks like he just kind of torpedoed over Josh Allen, but like. From that one still frame, it kind of looks like he grabbed the helmet and then hit his helmet into Josh's helmet. So it's just really hard to tell. Clearly it was unnecessary.
But did he, though? Like, it almost looked like he missed him. Like, he whiffed. If anything, he hit the other guy, which made the contact on Allen more difficult. Patrick Mahomes decided to hit the on switch, by the way. The Kansas City Chiefs are driving a big play to Kelsey. A lot of people saying now he lowered his head. Like, I respect it. I just don't know how mad I want to get at it. Like, I don't. Mm-hmm. Of all the dirty plays that we've seen, especially from like the Henry Andersons of the world, like I almost feel like I want to give Arden Key the benefit of the doubt. I want to feel like maybe he was, but weren't the Raiders getting pretty chippy at the end? Weren't some of the Bills players getting pretty mad at the Raiders at the end?
Well, Diggs got into it. Diggs got into it with Trayvon Mullen near the end, and so it was getting chippy. It was definitely the chippiest game we've had yet, which is kind of interesting because it wasn't a division game.
Yeah.
So I don't know if like it was just like
I was drunk from the night before.
Yeah, everyone hit the casinos, man. I guess I don't know. we got a
comment here from Joe Miller that I feel like we need to talk about. He says, "So Stidham is not your QB who you would take over Josh Allen right now." Listen. We need to have a conversation because over the offseason, we did a show where we were ranking quarterbacks in the National Football League. And I said that right now I would take the likes of Kyler Murray and Joe Burrow over Josh Allen.
Well, you said not right now. You said at the time before the season started.
All I need to say is this. First of all, Josh Allen is my quarterback. I've said it. I said it on the show. I said it after. I said Josh Allen is my guy. He's my quarterback. He's my ride or die. I just – wasn't willing to crown him over some other people. I was saying that like if he I literally the comment, yeah, Kyler has been trashed the last couple of weeks. I will say that. I literally made the comment on the show that night that if Josh Allen hits his ceiling, he's better than all of them. I said if Josh Allen takes two or three steps, he's going to have a Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson type of season. I said all those things, but the second you say anything remotely negative about Josh Allen, like people jump down your throat. Hey, good for you guys for jumping down people's throat. I respect it. But please, nobody confuse me with the Pro Football Focus guys. No. Like, my support was always with Josh Allen. I am always hoping Josh Allen does well. Even though I said at the time, like, hey, before the season starts, I'd rather have, you know, Dak and Kyler and Joe Burrow as my quarterback. Like, even though I said that, like, I also preface it by saying, like, I really hope Josh does well, and I really hope he makes me look like an idiot, and he's making me look stupid, and I'm happy about it. I'm not here saying, like, oh, my God, guys, but, like, if you look at, like, the number of interceptable balls that he threw, and, like, if you look at those three throws he made, that, like, they were just, you know, if he would have put it 1 inch lower, it would have been such a better pass. Like, you don't see me sitting here trying to make excuses for being wrong. I'm just owning it. I was wrong. Whatever. I'm not making excuses for it. So that's all I got for you at this point.
You guys can find me in the comment section. Just let it all out. I don't think Josh Barrett's in the house tonight. Josh Barrett would be ripping me apart right now.
Here's the thing. at the time, right? Again, we hadn't seen these four games yet. And like your logic and reasoning was fairly sound, right? As far as like why you would have done that. So like clearly things change, right? We see how players develop. We see what's going on. And to be honest with you, like Joe Burrow has played pretty well this season. Better than Kyler Murray, in my opinion.
Yo, Kyler, I don't know what's going on in the desert, man.
He started out hot. And he's kind of faded the last couple games.
They're playing down to their opponent. They're playing down to their opponent, which is classic Cliff Kingsbury. Cliff Kingsbury thinks he's still in the Big 12. That team can't play defense.
Well, get Cliff to take over the OC job when he gets fired in Arizona.
Yeah, I don't know. They seem pretty obsessed. They're pretty obsessed with him out here.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, Packers game. Packers Falcons are about to start, I think, and hopefully we'll see the Chiefs finish off the Pats here. I am rooting for the Chiefs in this game just because even though I know that they may be our biggest threat to the number one seed, you got to win the division first. So any loss for New England is a good loss in my book.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that should just about do it. Again, I can't stress enough how much I need you to type in this phone number right now, 716-219-0086. And you need to text Air Raid Allen straight up to the boys, wake them up. If you think right now that Josh Allen is a legitimate MVP candidate, I also need you to smash that like. I think we got about 60 likes and about 170 people in here right now, 160 people in here right now. So before you head out, if you think I'm an idiot for this offseason saying I preferred Kyler to Josh Allen, if you're a Josh Allen believer, if you think he's an MVP candidate, head on over and just smash that like button before you go. We would super duper appreciate it. Tomorrow night, Rico will be in the house with the Rico Report, a special Tuesday night edition of the Rico Report. So make sure you check that out. And also tomorrow morning, Bot Talks Bills on the Buffalo Fanatics Podcasting Network. Until
he's
Thursday,
an entertaining guy.
He's got like a very Jim Rome vibe to him.
I know. And I like Jim Rome. A lot of people don't like Jim Rome, but I do.
And the takes. You think Joe Miller's got the voice. Bot's got a voice. I'll tell you that right now.
He sure does.
Doesn't see that. I don't know if he's going to take offense to that. But all right, ladies and gentlemen, we will see you on Thursday. Hopefully, we'll have a game to preview. If not, we'll think of something. Like I said, Dino Babers and craft beers is probably what we're going to be talking about on Thursday. Come on. Really, New England?
Support your local breweries. Did they score?
No, Damian Harris just went like 45 yards.
Why
are they good? It defies all logic that they're good at football. It defies all logic.
You need to get off the air and continue to support your local brewery.
Yeah, it defies all logic that they are still good at football. Their roster sucks.
Oh, it's Belichick.
All right. Until Thursday, I guess. Go Bills.
Go Bills.